presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is in Miami today. What's he doing at a crypto conference? Well, this is how you deal with the censorship. You find new ways to get your voice and your words around the censor, and he's in where? Oh, he's in Miami at a crypto conference, not because he wants to sell Bitcoin. No, so he as a keynote speaker, he can red pill the audience without mainstream media censoring him. That's exactly what's happening. And Ed Dowd, who is now his co-treasurer of the Robert F. Kennedy Jr. presidential campaign, he dropped some big stuff yesterday, a couple of graphs related to money. One is on the weakness and strengths of the U.S. dollar, and it's starting to get frosty, is his comment. He showed another one where money printing in the United States of the U.S. dollar is kaput, meaning it's come to an end. So even without a debt ceiling agreement, and it's not looking good, because the Republicans walked out today of the debt ceiling meeting, according to CNBC News. So economic crash, I'm saying all signals are red. We will see what happens in the next few weeks. It's not going to be boring like the last 2 weeks. It's been kind of incredible. Congress has launched resolutions to impeach Jurassic Joe Biden for national security issues, treason, pay for play on national secrets, all that fun stuff. And they're going to try to expel pencil neck Adam Schiff, you know, Juan O'Savin's favorite congressional representative. And Juan's a guest today. So we'll let Juan weigh in on Adam Schiff. So the Durham report has already not only exposed the FBI and many other groups and a lot of the criminals in this, but they've now actually resulted in a resolution 420 to go impeach Joe Biden, another resolution to expel Adam Schiff. This is just the beginning. I mean, the 306-page Durham report's only 5 days old. It is kind of incredible. Russia is clearly gaining the upper hand in Ukraine. It's destroying weapons caches, weapon depots with the hypersonic missiles, and the U.S. Patriot missile battery really can't do anything about it. You know, they have like a 10% success rate knocking down a hypersonic missile. We're back 30 years ago, they had probably had a 80 or 90% success rate knocking down Saddam's Scud missiles, if you remember those days, right? So will Ukraine go the way of North Korea? Will they try to create a DMZ 38th parallel? Well, Politico thinks so. U.S. officials think so, but I doubt it. I think Russia's going to roll up and expose the entire cabal operation in Kiev. That's just my opinion. And other good news, the vaccine confidence has really imploded across America. In fact, the FDA has pulled the third vaccine, COVID vaccine maker, Janssen, right? J&J, their shot. 19 million were distributed to duped and coerced and forced Americans, or simply dumb Americans, or Kool-Aid drinking Americans. But 12 million of these shots have expired and will now be destroyed. I'm just wondering if the hazmat team will go destroy those 12 million Franken shots. Incredible. So like I said, Juan O'Savin's in the house. He's going to break down everything from the banking crisis to the Durham report and a lot more. What's going on in D.C.? We got Josh Reed in the house to bring you the truth in many ways. And Suzanne Monk is in the swamp. And we're going to break it all down for you today. It's time to cannonball the deep state on DEFCON 5. Let's roll.
I've now had a couple of days to digest the full sweep of the Durham final report. And what the report reveals or confirms is a triangular alliance between three corrupt parties. On one side, you have one peg of the triangle is the Clinton campaign. They are the originators of the fraud. They're the ones who wanted to frame Trump, not only to defeat him in the election, but to divert attention from Hillary's server, her deleted emails, to also divert attention away from investigations that were that could have started at the FBI or in the intelligence agencies involving questionable contributions to the Clinton Foundation, illegal campaign donations. So there was a lot of dirty laundry on the part of the Clinton campaign. And their point was, let's sick these guys on Trump. So that's the first party. The second party was, of course, the FBI and other intelligence agencies. This whole Russia collusion involved foreign intelligence agencies. It involved the CIA. And so there's a wider web of spies and spooks and bad guys involved. And third, the media. The media, which played a role of an accessory to trumpeting these lies. The lies paid off for the media. There were Pulitzer Prizes awarded. And Durham has the goods on all three groups. He begins with the U.S. government and the intelligence agencies, and he makes one clear point. They never had one shred of evidence that the Trump campaign was in any way collaborating with Russia. No ties between Trump campaign officials and Russians. Trump was in no way a Russian asset or some kind of a subsidiary of Putin. All of this pure fabrication, pure lies.
Nice breakdown from Dinesh. That was about a 5-minute video. You can find it on rumble.com. Boy, very simple. Three parties and tens of thousands of minions were involved in the Durham report to take down, to overthrow the United States government, sitting president, and try to destroy Donald Trump and his 100 million followers. Crazy times we're living in, but we're actually winning, believe it or not. This is James Grimmick, your host for Unrestricted Truths on AmericanMediaPeriscope.com. You can find us on ampnews.us. This show is brought to you by our lead sponsor, Kirk Elliott, PhD, Private Advisors. This is the DEFCON military version. And, you know, let's get into it. Video two. Let's speak about the military. Here we go. That's a video of Milano, Italy, northern Italy, sending obviously tanks and armored vehicles and equipment and jeeps and things up to obviously Ukraine. As Bugs Bunny used to say, it's a long way to Albuquerque. It's a long way from northern Italy to Ukraine, but I assume that's where it's going, because why else would it be sent out of the country? Got to be. Let's go to image one. This is I love this story. So Zelensky wasn't invited to the Bilderberg meeting, secret meeting that's taking place over in Portugal. So I guess he can't beg the billionaire and trillionaires there. So he was sent into G7 instead in Hiroshima, Japan, where Joe Biden is supposedly, you know, floating around somewhere. And of course, he supposedly had a speech today begging for more money, right? Because Pelosi is no longer in Congress. Well, let's go to image two, because this gets better. So Syrian President Assad removes his translator's interpreter's earpiece when Zelensky went on stage. Incredible. He just didn't even bother listening to it. I love it, because obviously Syria is much closer relations with Russia than the cabal operators in Ukraine. That is for sure. Let's go to image three. Politico. Really? You think this conflict's going to end in a North Korean DMZ 38th parallel neutral zone, frozen baloney, BS, garbage. But go ahead and put this out there, because that's not how this is going to end. It's going to end when the Great Awakening happens. And if the Great Awakening happens, we have to expose all of the cabal operations in Kiev. And yes, Russia's been bombing specific targets in Kiev all week long. And you know what? Ukraine air defenses can't do a darn thing about it. They can knock a couple of rockets out of the sky, but they're getting pummeled there in Odessa and other places, including that massive $2.2 billion Kamelsky in western Ukraine industrial city that was hit that destroyed the NATO weapons depot and, in fact, spiked gamma radiation into the air. So I guess they're storing depleted uranium, maybe even tactical nukes. Who knows? But all of Western Ukraine since Wednesday has been on a radiation fallout alert. Wow. Let's bring on Suzanne Monk out of Washington, D.C.
Hey, James. How's it going?
You got no fallout. Well, you got fallout, but it's not radiation. You got a fallout of the Durham report in D.C. What's going on?
I think people are starting to get a little feisty, a little concerned. We saw a lot of pushback by the Democrats today with regards to the FBI whistleblower hearing. The hearings just keep coming. I really got to say this, 118th Congress has been doing a lot more oversight than we've seen in previous congressional versions, if you will. The whistleblower report is, I think, it's starting to set us up for what we're going to see at the Durham hearings, because the Democrats are already completely resistant to everything these FBI whistleblowers are saying. They've denied their status as whistleblowers. They are impugning their character, as we saw, clearance for two of the whistleblowers speaking today was revoked by the FBI. And the reason they gave was because one of them was that he spoke about an alternative narrative to January 6th. Well, no kidding. That's why he's a whistleblower. We are literally coming out with the truth, and they are so desperate they're going to call truth lies, because they're already prepping for what they know is coming with the Durham report. Republican members of Congress are already pretty fired up about it.
I know in the book Isaiah, maybe chapter 20, it talks about at the end times, truth will be lies and lies will be truth. So we're actually literally in the end times. And by the way, I got an article out on the meek, not only shall, but will inherit the earth. It goes into all of this, and it's related to these nonverbal autistic kids. It is a disgusting statistic out of California, came out with the CDC this week, that 1 in 22 kids now born in California will fall on the autism spectrum. It used to be 1 in 2000, 20 years ago. So you see where this is going. They're trying to destroy the children. This is crystal clear.
Well, yeah, and what they do with that, with those diagnoses often, and when we saw it back in the 90s with attention deficit disorder, they love to drug up the kids. And they actually use this as a limiting factor in the future. I have had individuals who were put on the spectrum as children, became very functional adults, and actually had to go back to that psychologist that gave the diagnosis and get a rectification in order to be able to hold some types of employment. So, you know, we have to be careful as we are watching this diagnosis grow, how it is affecting people long term. And frankly, there's a lot of young people who are going to need to be rectified. Luckily, a diagnosis can be changed, unlike body mutilation, which is what we see with a lot of the gender transition.
Yeah, that's another ugly story. Thank you, Suzanne. Have a great week. Keep up the great research. We'll see you on Monday on the show. Let's bring in my co-host, Josh Reeves, DEFCON 5. Josh, a lot going on in the world this week. More this week than last week. Every week it feels like we're picking up momentum, right? Things are piling on. Other things are being exposed. Just incredible what we're witnessing.
It is, James, and this is exactly what you and I have been saying for years, is that as we get closer and closer to the heart of the storm, things are going to speed up, things are going to start moving incredibly fast, and it's going to happen. Remember, drip, drip, flood. We are entering that time period where the great flood, the revelation is happening right now. The truth is creeping to the surface from the darkness into the light. The lies and the deceptions, the corruption, the treason, the sedition is being brought forth for everybody to see, and that, you know what, you couldn't tell the people, you had to show them, and now they are getting their first glimpses of what has really been going on in this world. And, you know, typically when I think of these things, I think of a lot of the people that have paved the way before us who've been preaching these messages for a long time. And one of those gentlemen I actually had the honor of interviewing about 2 weeks ago, and that was G. Edward Griffin. I want to play this short little video from G. Edward Griffin that discusses why we should resist tyranny at all costs. Play the first video.
To resist a tyranny, you must be independent of that tyranny for your subsistence. If the government provides your food, your clothing, your shelter, your education, your job, your medical care, your retirement, then the government controls you most effectively indeed. If that government should ever become tyrannical, and they have a way of doing that in history, then you've had it, my friends. We believe that one of the greatest lessons of history that so desperately needs to be relearned by the American people, our forefathers knew it well, is this. Anytime a government is powerful enough to give the people everything they want, it is also powerful enough to take from the people everything they've got. You cannot have one without the other. Even if collectivism were not morally wrong, even if it did produce a higher standard of living, we would still oppose it because freedom is more important than prosperity.
Freedom is more important than prosperity. Now think about that. Now, G. Edward Griffin talks a lot about collectivism, but this is the ideals that are been put in place, like people like Saul Alinsky and the Communist Manifestos, and that, you know, Yuri Bezmenov warned us about, of how they will basically unify the society through various different social justice causes to get people into a collective mindset, and at the same time degrade their standard of living while the government comes in and provides for that standard of living. And that's what we're seeing happening right now. Everything that James and I are talking about here, all these crimes that are coming out there, these were deals. These were the ends of the deals that were made to basically bring about regulation and policy that has been implemented within the financial institutions and the corporations, within the school and education systems, academia, within the political structures, within your own community laws, to change this society away from individualized rights towards collective rights, which is a social or communist doctrine of what is being implemented and being set up for the global government. Now, I could talk all day about the crimes of these people, but it's getting interesting here. Joe Biden, for instance, we have articles of impeachment that just came out against him. We're going to watch a video here in a minute of that. But first, there's new evidence out there, and this evidence is going to break open this rabbit hole. Why? Because Hunter Biden's laptop was very specific in the date and time frames that it talked about. Yes, Joe Biden was vice president, but it basically covered 2014 to 2017. But now we have this inclination of this new phone that is coming about, that the House Committee on the Weaponization of Government has just subpoenaed the phone records for. Let's take a look at this video.
I think the investigation is going to take a very interesting turn, specifically focusing on Joe Biden himself. So we noticed in the laptop there was a email exchange in 2017 where Hunter Biden is complaining about how he's tired of paying his dad's phone bill.
Right.
And we went back and looked and found that Rosemont Seneca Partner, his business, gave a private phone to Joe Biden in 2009 and paid for that bill throughout his vice presidency. So this is not a government phone. This is not a family phone that Hunter Biden, that Joe Biden had as vice president. This is actually one paid by Hunter Biden's business. We located that phone number. It was provided to certain people, and we now understand that the House Oversight Committee is subpoenaing those records. So we will actually know who Vice President Joe Biden was talking to, the timing of those calls, and I think this could be a potential game changer in terms of really highlighting the role that Joe Biden's had. We know about the meetings. We know about that he benefited from some of Hunter's money, but this could be a real game changer, Glenn.
You want to talk about some booms incoming? Those booms are going to come from that phone, not only who he was talking to, but potentially the type of media and data that he was sending back and forth to people. And this dates back all the way to 2009, from when he was vice president, which he was vice president with his son's private corporate phone, which I think there's probably some quid pro quo going on here. But I think that what's going to be unveiled from this is going to be much, much greater than just what we've heard so far about Joe Biden's dealings with foreign adversaries and the treason and sedition that he's committed against this country. And from that, we see that timing is everything. And Marjorie Taylor Greene has just introduced articles of impeachment against U.S. Attorney Graves, against Director of the FBI Ray against the head of the DHS Mayorkas, as well as Joe Biden. Listen to this right here.
It is with the highest amount of solemnity that I announce my intention to introduce articles of impeachment today on the head of this America at Last executive branch that has been working since January 20th, 2021 to systematically destroy this country. The President of the United States, Joseph Robinette Biden. Joe Biden has deliberately compromised our national security by refusing to enforce immigration laws and secure our border, allowed approximately 6 million illegals from over 170 countries to invade our country, deprived Border Patrol of the necessary resources and policies sufficient to protect our country.
Well, it's a whole new level of treason now. The articles of impeachment have been filed, and the mainstream media is absolutely silent on this. They are not reporting on it. They're not going to report on it. But I guarantee you that Joe Biden will be impeached, at least by the House of Representatives. Now, it's interesting that they didn't put Anthony Blinken into this impeachment. I thought that they would have, but maybe there's a good reason why they didn't. But Anthony Blinken, by the way, the Secretary of the State, he was the head of the Joe Biden campaign that went out there to the intelligence community heads, Brennan and all these other guys that signed that letter, the 51 of them that signed that letter, including active members of the Central Intelligence Agency. And he's the one that fished this letter to them to try to give Joe Biden some punch during that debate against Donald Trump, which we know was massive disinformation and election interference. He was also the head of the Biden Penn Center, of where they took in $10 million from the Chinese, and they had boxes of classified documents sitting on the floor, especially when the Chinese were there visiting and had an open door policy to go in and out of there. So I'm curious why Anthony Blinken wasn't named in this impeachment as well, but it might have been because, well, he's the one actually running the government right now. He's the one actually running the executive department of the president. And so I think they don't want Kami Kamala to have so much power if they do impeach him and do remove him from office, which is highly unlikely because they'd have to get the majority of the Senate. But this is a debacle. This is going to be crazy. The next 18 months that you're going to see are going to have an unraveling like you've never, ever seen before within the political theater, within the social theater. And we're about to witness probably some of the biggest revelations that have ever came to humanity in thousands of years. The unraveling of this evil net that is coming forth right now is going to shock and awe the world. The next 18 months, as Donald Trump said, the final battle is 2024. He told us the final battle is 2024. And what he means there is that this ends in 2024, that we begin to take back our country and rebuild and restart in 2024. 2025 when he takes office. And so we have to do everything in this meantime to bring forth Donald Trump back into office and to reestablish the rules of justice, freedom, liberty back into our country and resist tyranny at all means. Now, there are some infiltrators in this movement. I'm not saying that DeSantis is a good guy. It's a bad guy. I think that he is being sponsored and supported by the Rhinos. I don't know if he's placed in there to do that position by the Trump team and the Patriots, or if he's actually aligned with that. I'm not going to give an opinion on that. But he just did an op-ed with Time Magazine. Check out this first image. What do you notice about Ron DeSantis with this image? Now, the first thing you're going to say is that, yes, the M, the head is placed over the M, and you see the horns. But pull up the second image, and let's see it in full. Well, look at that. He looks like a fallen angel with wings and horns. It's interesting the symbolism that Time Magazine portrays here. Now, I don't know if they're trying to communicate with us and make us hate Ron DeSantis, or if this is the truth and the nature of what they're trying to portray, that Ron DeSantis becomes this symbolic representation as the destruction of the Republican Party. Who knows? But we do know that symbolism will be their downfall. And Time Magazine over and over and over again has promoted this type of symbolic message to the people. Maybe it was unintentional, highly doubt it. But what we can see is that evil is being brought into the light and it can no longer hide within the darkness. We see these things more so than ever right now. We see them every day instantaneously, and we bring them to your eyes and to your ears so you can witness it as well. What used to take us weeks or months of research to uncover now only takes minutes to hours. We are the news. We are the media now. What do you think of that, James?
Yeah, we are the news, and light is shining on all the darkness, and there's nowhere to hide. And the fact that the world is turning its back on Zelensky, and the fact that Bilderberg didn't invite Zelensky to their secret meeting in Portugal this weekend, tells me everything I know. He's basically, his days are done very soon. We're going to take our first commercial break. Josh, we'll come right back with 107 and dive deep into all of this.
Banks are supposed to be the safest placeholders for cash in the world. But in 2022, that changed. The Federal Reserve pulled out $2.5 trillion of liquidity out of the banks. And the Fed also changed the requirements so banks don't need to keep any funds on hand. This means banks are starved for liquidity and have now become very dangerous places to hold your assets. Get out of the system with the world's safest and most private assets, silver and gold. Call Kirk Elliott, Ph.D. at 720-605-3900. CardioMiracle is the finest and most comprehensive nitric oxide and vitamin D supplement in the world. Made from the highest quality ingredients, CardioMiracle is driven and backed by science and committed to your health and well-being. Get your 60-day, no-risk, money-back guarantee now at CardioMiracle.com.
Whether it's a daughter or a son looking for help and next steps for their aging parents or grandparents, or if it's just you out there that's confused as to when do you trigger certain type of services that can fit your situation, we partner with people all across the nation as to how to help fill in the gaps for our clients. So if you have a question about one of these services and when to trigger it, call Grave Care today, because we have an advocate for you that can help you with your specific need.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and my employees and I want to thank each and every one of you for your continued support. With everything going on right now, your rest is so important. That's why we're having the biggest MyPillow sale ever. Not only are my bed pillows as low as $19.98, but you can get the best body pillows ever. Regular $89.98, now only $29.98. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Please order now while quantities last.
I would say the last 2 weeks is a target-rich environment. Let's bring on 107 and Josh. Juan.
Hey, how goes it?
where do you want to start in the deep state world? I mean, everything's unglued.
Let's go back to the beginning. You just mentioned the origins. You and I talked behind the scenes, communicated behind the scenes. I said there was a moment of decision coming for the people around Biden, the image of Biden. And so the people that are actually running the administration behind the scenes, and that they were going to have to make a choice early last week and pick a lane. And instead, they stood in the middle of the road, deer in the headlights, and wouldn't go one way or the other, which was, you're going to protect yourself, you're going to protect the overall Democratic Party. And they just stood there and let the next things happen. It was over Title 42. And whether that was going to be extended, and this looming budget crisis. And they had a couple options that were there. They didn't pick either choice. And the threat was, or we're just going to begin, and literally every day now you're going to get a razor slash. And immediately after no deal was cut, this started going to the next level, the announcement of Durham. Also an announcement related to Adam Schiff. You had the FBI whistleblowers show up. Now, there's one thing I do want to mention, and I mentioned a couple weeks ago on one of the shows, that, you know, there's people around Jordan who are very disturbed because he hasn't got enough investigators to cover all the stuff that they're doing. They're not hiring them. They're not doing the quantity of interviews that they could do with all the whistleblowers that have shown up. And Jordan's a good guy, and I don't have any doubt about that. Is there a strategy related to that? You know, time will tell, you know, trust but verify. He, by many accounts of the people around these investigations, should be bringing in a massive number of investigators because of all the whistleblowers that are waiting, trying to come forward with their information, their evidence. And they're kind of slow walking it, which was something that we were upset about with Trey Gowdy. And it was great rhetoric, but then we didn't get to the next thing, the next thing. However, as the week's gone on, it may be that we're seeing that in many ways they have enough information. They're not going to take as much time with the investigative side because more exists within what's already been found in the investigations than many of the people necessarily realized. Even some of these whistleblowers may be superfluous, valuable, but superfluous. So proceeding forward, now we're getting into more of the hearings where these people get to come in and do some jabs. This is actually pretty lightweight still, even now. You're just getting the first headwinds on the edge of the bigger storm that's coming. And as you get closer to that June 1st date, and then thereafter, as these players try to use distraction. Remember, politicians are most dangerous when they're up against the wall and personally about to be exposed. So if they can have anything that pulls the light off of them, they will do it, especially, you know, when there's so much criminality going on. So the border crisis to most Americans, with this massive influx of very sick people being brought over the border, you'd think that, you know, that was a good thing, except that the politicians in Washington, D.C. want your attention over here. It's a magic act. The crisis in Ukraine, you know, I told your viewers a couple weeks back about the depleted uranium that was just being rounds that were being used all over, and they weren't keeping track of where the inventory was going, and the threat that exists to people in those wind flow patterns downrange of those weapons being used. Russia, look, you haven't seen anything in the Western press about it at all, but there's plenty of reports that on March 8th, Russia did a huge hit on a bunker that was actually a NATO bunker in Ukraine, and that hundreds of people inside the border were killed. So, or inside that bunker were killed. You know, Russia's all in, and yet 50,000 Ukrainians that came in were trained and to support or to go in with a few thousand of seasoned troops. Look, Ukraine's lost 200,000 soldiers in this moment. You've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands injured. They're not going to win this with 50,000 soldiers going in for this spring offensive. Those guys are going to be totally decimated. That's why Zelensky, he's going to show up in Miami in his penthouse apartment and do a government in exile thing while Russia retreats back behind the line there in the Donbass. And they've got what they wanted all along, what they needed all along, which is a demilitarized zone there in the in between, a gray zone. If we come in to Ukraine, Zelensky said he was going to give land back to Poland that was taken after World War II, given to Stalin. If they give that back and then Poland moves inside that line, there's going to be a big standoff. And of course, that's where you could have a Cuban Missile Crisis type of event standoff. Everybody said they could use tactical nukes. So, you know, there's a lot of drama there, but that again becomes a distraction to what? The huge drama in Washington. Is that something that the Biden camp or the Democrats are that upset about? No. Because the corruption in DC is what all those other things relate to. They're going to use those to keep your eyes off the prize with what's happening in DC with these hearings, these disclosures as it goes on further into the summer and the fall. And by the way, the other thing that your listeners need to be very aware of, the place that, and you started with it, James, early on, is the money. because G. Edward Griffin, of course, all of his work related to the Fed and that type of stuff. The reality is they are going to go after, with this digital currency switchover, a complete different type of a distraction that most people don't see coming. And that's probably later in the late summer, early fall. But that's as things really get going. So is there danger for us as a people? Yeah, it's going to get very disruptive. At the end of the day, we're going to have to take a deep breath. And while these crooked politicians, these crime families running America are rooted out, and it will be disruptive, it's going to be painful. And that process isn't over in a day or a week or a month. It's, you know, people want a gold and silver bullet that just, it's over in a day like a TV show. This is going to go on for months and months and months. So people need to kind of take a deep breath, maybe watch your spending a little bit and switch some of that into tangibles that you can really use. Doesn't have to be gold and silver, but that's a good spot. But if you need some supplies like that, you should have a few things, because it could be bumpy and it's not going to be over in a day or a week. Could be many months. We'll get through this. We're going to be just fine. MAGA is going to win. Make America great again.
Yep.
But we got to get rid of some problem children on the way to that. That's the fight. Them first or us first? It's America first, not these crooked political crime families.
Josh, go ahead.
Ron, 100% full agreement. You know, G. Edward Griffin, it was great talking to him. The man wrote the book, the on Jekyll Island and the Federal Reserve. And, you know, what's happening right now, you absolutely are correct that we have to follow the money. And next month, we're seeing the beginnings of the FedNow system being implemented, as well as digital currency on the horizon. The Bilderbergs are meeting this week, today, yesterday, discussing digital currencies and how this is going to transition the whole financial system of the world into that. The only way that I know you and I could both see that actually happening is through global economic collapse. We're seeing the centralization of all the banking power in the United States happening right before our eyes. With that being said, what do you think that we as conservatives have to do, how we have to vote, and how this is going to play out in the next 18 months to where we need to be positioned for when Donald Trump comes back in? What are your thoughts in that sense, in the sense of economically, how can we prepare ourselves, how we can get ourselves ready? What should we be doing? What should we be telling our politicians that we want to be done? These types of things.
Well, you got to be viable. And so you need to make decisions very close to home so that you're not caught flat-footed, not caught by surprise by what's about to happen. There is going to be economic trauma. And, you know, it's easy to say get out of the way, but, you know, if there's decisions to be made, the earlier you make them to kind of cut back and get in the right position, the easier it'll ultimately be. The longer you wait, the more painful it is. And I mean, as simple as just some provisions. So if the stores are expensive or don't work completely, you're good to go. And maybe not getting the most expensive gas guzzler truck you can find in the world is your next purchase, because they've got a good deal at the dealership. On the far side of this, it's going to be an amazing economy for the country, because an America without the corruption in these federal agencies. Look, the FBI has been weaponized against American voters. The CIA weaponized, you know, all those vote machines that have problems and those systems. A lot of the work that was done at three-letter agencies right here in the United States to control elections overseas. And that has boomeranged back, come to America, and we're suffering from it. We're finding all sorts of things. Look, in Arizona, you think it's over in Arizona? We have three different things going in Arizona that could all flip this thing over the next couple of weeks, and it's pretty amazing. You get through the testimony, it'll be amazing later on today. I had a briefing in our coalition this morning on the current status. I think it's going to shock America, shock the world, and all we need is one crack in the dam. And, you know, all you need to prove that all crows aren't black, his one white crow. Watch what happens there. I think something stunning is about to happen. But at the same time, You know, if you were in occupied France and the Allies landed at Normandy and began to build out a beachhead, did you start breaking out the champagne and celebrating in central France that night? Well, you might have been celebrating, but you better keep your head down and stay out of the way, because you're about to see hot and cold clash. That's what causes a storm, hot and cold. And something's going to happen. It's going to be epic. You know, there's a certain moment where you just kind of have to stand back because the bigger forces are in play. Let somebody else, you know, get in there. Because a lot of this is very epic. It's going to be ultimately military versus three-letter agencies to, you know, proceed with arrests and prosecution.
Absolutely.
But remember this. Wow. Hold on a second. Here's the issue. When three-letter agencies, those 51 intelligence officers, came out and said that this was classic Russian disinformation, they interfered in the election. When, after 45 days, Radcliffe was supposed to provide a report concerning foreign interference in the election, he said publicly 3 days earlier, in time for Congress to call these guys in and do hearings, said that the heads of several of the agencies in Homeland Security refused to provide their investigative material concerning Chinese interference in the election. They were under an executive order. An interference in an election is a war crime. So we were in a wartime condition. The president wasn't operating with his president hat on, which is like the chief of police. He was operating in his commander-in-chief hat. And those agency heads, FBI, CIA, NSA, National Reconnaissance Office, CISPA, Cybersecurity Intelligence, refused to provide their information. They were insubordinate in a wartime condition when an enemy was attacking our elections. And then Congress, why did those guys feel safe doing that? Because Congress wasn't going to interview or investigate anybody. They were also complicit. You have enemies inside the gate. At that point, if you can't get to justice at the Justice Department, who the cares? Because that's a war crime. That's a military crime. Tribunals are coming. Tribunals are coming. Tribunals are coming.
Yeah, Juan, well said. We're going to take our last commercial break, come right back, and talk to you about this target-rich environment, which is the deep state in America. It's all coming unraveled in front of the eyes, and eventually all the censors and all the gaslighting, all the propaganda will not work anymore. We'll be right back with 107 Josh Reed, word from our sponsor.
It's astonishing that experts were not called to help the country.
In the inaugural episode of Focal Point with Alex Newman, Dr. Peter McCullough discusses the impact of COVID-19.
If we had no government response and the medical community just faced it on its own, we could have avoided, I think, 2/3 of the hospitalizations and deaths. We never needed the vaccine, so they wouldn't have come out. The entire calamity would have been markedly reduced.
Don't miss this historically important interview on Focal Point with Alex Newman, only on ampnews.us.
Hey guys, Justin here with the Satellite Phone Store, and today we're going to talk about EcoFlow's solar panel options.
Designed for portable power, these foldable solar panels come with a kickstand case for easy transportation, setup, and protection. Each panel uses an MC4 universal connector for wider compatibility and makes it super useful for charging a variety of devices.
And if you're interested in making a purchase or you'd like more information, please visit satellitephonestore.com or sat123.com.
Genocide Jab by John Michael Chambers is now an Amazon number one bestseller. If you've not yet read this critically important book that exposes uncomfortable truths, you should get your copy now. Or bundle with The World Awakens Volume 1 and 2 and get a 20% discount at ampnews.us.
The world is about to shift. Banks are going cashless globally with the emergence of central bank digital currency, which will bring with it programmable money and the ability to turn on or off your purchasing power based on your digital social profile. It's like the equivalent of spyware in your bank account. You need to get out of the system with the world's safest and most private assets, silver and gold. Call Kirk Elliott, PhD, 720-605-3900.
And we're back with Juan 07 and Josh Reed. Juan, where do you want to go? There's so much to discuss.
Well, one thing I want to say, Robert Kennedy Jr. is speaking at the crypto conference out there in Florida right now. And he's bypassing some of the media choke points to get to these audiences. That's beautiful. There's other stuff that we'll be able to help him out, I think, with that will get him past those choke points. The only other thing I wanted to say in that regard, though, is that from my perspective, there's a lot of people with all sorts of ideas concerning investing in cryptos or parking money in the cryptos. Please use a lot of discernment there. And the reason is because, again, you might think that this is some kind of a anti-government, get out of the way of government situation. Those vehicles, Bitcoin itself was a creation of DARPA. Wasn't some Japanese guy. That's all BS. It's just like Facebook. It was created. It's totally transparent. When these guys want to come in and do something, they can. And by the way, it's, you know, how do you generate those currencies with use of computers? Who has the most advanced computers, the fastest computers? Who got there first? Who's got the cheapest use of the computers on the energy side? Gets it for nothing. Just like the vote machines, that was something that was done inside Western intelligence agencies working in collusion together to come up with those systems to control who got into power in governments around the world, and it's come back to hit us here in the West. Those currencies, don't trust them. Your safest bet is constitutional money. We're coming back into a period where the Constitution is going to come back into play, and to ride this out, I don't even personally recommend silver bars or having it someplace else. It should be a U.S. coin. You'll pay a premium for it. There's a reason. And personally, I prefer silver for most of it. And I think that's sound advice. You got to pray about it. You got to look, you know, what's your particular situation. For some people, it's a tractor. Other people, it's, you know, just that they've got their own motorhome in the driveway with a generator in it. You're not having to get by forever. This is not Armageddon. It's not the end of the world. But you're going to have several months somewhere in here that are going to be where government's less than functional. One of the other things that people need to remember, countries around the world, I was just in one here a few weeks ago, where the government collapsed. And the person that I was with said, yeah, it was like a breath of fresh air. Everything worked so much better while they were collapsed. I'm serious. So there's a lot of people that would think it's the end of the world. There's going to be shooting the streets on. You know what, Americans, when things get tough like that, there will be some hot spots, but most of the people understand, pull together. We're going to be Americans operating and acting like true Americans, and we're all going to get through this together. We'll be together on the far side dancing, because a lot of these monsters who've been keeping a noose on America and its productivity are gone, and we're going to be free.
So the Bilderbergs, I heard, want to, number one discussion is how to use artificial intelligence against the rest of humankind. What are your thoughts on that, Juan? Is there a threat there, or will AI out the Bilderberg group? Go ahead.
That's the biggest threat. The reason we have to win this now is because it's a Tholian web moment, Star Trek term. If they complete this web around us, we probably wouldn't get free, you know, for 1,000 years or more. It would be, you know, the end of mankind. As a free people, we'd be subject to machine control. And so you don't have a very wide window to accomplish this. That's why it has to come to a head. We want it to come to a head, because right now it's human controls people with these little clubs augmented by AI. And so it helps them to locate places for action, interaction, control, etc., more quickly and more precisely. Shortly, it will switch to AIs augmented by humans. the AIs will have so much control that humans will be just doing the bidding within what this AI system is set up to be. We cannot allow that to happen. God himself won't allow that to happen. We are going to get control of this situation before it's too late. And America is going to lead the way to protect the rest of the world. That's the way it is.
Josh, go ahead.
Yep, 100% agree. And, you know, AI is an incredible threat. And I think that when this new idea of government is put into place, that we're going to put the right restrictions in place to make sure that this thing cannot go out there, control, and take over humanity. But there's a lot of obstacles that we have to get back to.
Can I just mention one thing, Josh?
Oh, yeah.
You know, one of the things that I'm most concerned about is that the people that have the most advanced AI stuff, you have a lot of out in private industry. It is these three-letter agencies that we're actually being threatened by. And so people need to remember, all these people saying that they're there to help us, it's our tax dollars, our machines. DARPA created Facebook, and it was foisted on the world as though this was a private operation. The same thing with augmentations going into others of these huge social media operations. The AIs are really government-controlled AIs, huge institutional systems beyond most people's ability to even comprehend. And that's the real threat, that if we don't get control of these people inside of our government that weaponize the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, if we don't get control of them first, they will have the tools to keep control over us, everything we see, hear, believe, for the rest of our time. It's because they control the propaganda and the rate of flow and how you get access to it. And they control your ability to work, go to school, eat, drive, move. Can't allow it to happen.
Now, Juan, with that idea as well, is how much is it a threat then that not necessarily our own three-letter agencies, but foreign adversaries like China weaponizing artificial intelligence against us?
Oh, absolutely. And of course, think of it this way. It's not even just U.S. You had, for example, with Epstein Island, you had CIA, FBI, three-letter agencies working together with MI5 and 6 out of Britain and with Mossad, which was created out of MI6 out of Britain. So with that in mind, there was collusive activity there. On the other side, you have collusion from China with other of its allies to control us from the other side. One of the questions is, which way is India going to fall ultimately, for example? Within that kind of a mindset, the world, the fight's a lot bigger than just the US, but we're the beachhead. If we don't get control of our own government and all of those people in our government that aren't working for us, they're working for themselves or for other countries. If we don't get them under control right now, literally throw them in Gitmo as, you know, the terrorists and crime groups that they are, then they would have those tools. We'd never get free of them. This is Al Capone moment. You've got to go in and root them out right this second before those tools are so completely in their grip and able to be used. You'll never get another fair election. You won't be able to get a job. You won't get education that gets you qualified for a job. You won't have money to live. You won't be able to go get gas for the car. This is that moment.
Wow. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, so, you know, we're coming into the mid-level of 2024 right now. We have, obviously, the banking and economic crisis, which I think is going to take part in the next 6 months, is going to be the next major crises. But we also heard of the CDC coming out the other day and talking about Mpox return, the monkeypox return. And we also have very big warnings coming out from South Africa, from various opposition leaders, talking about bioweapons are potentially going to be utilized throughout Africa, because Africa is more in the sense aligning with the BRICS nations, which is a threat to the United States and all the Western nations, because they lose those votes in the United Nations at the table. And so we could potentially see something breaking out in Africa as well. What are your thoughts on a bioweapon being released here in the next 18 months or so?
The bioweapons being released right this second. You have hundreds of thousands of people with all manner of disease coming up from Colombia and through the Darien Gap in Panama into the U.S. The flood is on right now. And U.S. government agencies are in collusion, working together to bring those people into the country and spread them out all over the country with their diseases. Nobody's being quarantined or stopped. The governors in the states have the authority to quarantine those people coming in. They have the authority to hold them back at the border of every single state. And before it's all over with, I believe that's exactly what's going to have to happen and is going to happen. Because it's the federal government is giving citizenship papers to these people before they even get into the U.S. as though they're a full-fledged citizen, able to vote, etc. Then they go to the state, get their driver's license, they get on the voter rolls, and this is being done with clear intent to throw the next election, have an assist in that. But those people are coming in with the disease is going to weigh down the community services directly and indirectly as the community has more and more of these diseases breaking out. America is drilling holes in the foundation of America. And you have to stop the border invasion. Don't worry about Africa. Those people are being flown over to South America and they're coming up with the rest of the people. And while they're traveling, they're communicating the diseases between each other. And you have the Chinese agents. That immigrant invasion is a very direct threat. And by the way, the governors are the ones that pushed the mask mandate, that tried to enforce the shots. It was the governors, not the federal government. It was the governors. The fight right now is the governors. And if a state's governor won't protect the people in the state from this federal tyranny of forcing these immigrants into each state, then that governor needs to be recalled. That governor needs to be challenged, might even have to be impeached, different laws in different states. But the people in each state at a very local level are going to have to engage with their governors. You can't do it fast enough with the legislature. The governors have to do the mandate. That's why the governors started the whole COVID operation to shut down America. It was governors. And they could also choose not to, like Kristi Noem did up in South Dakota. The fight's at the governor level right now. And if you want to keep your kids, your family healthy, viable for the other side of this whole situation, that's where the fight's at. Stop the invasion.
Thanks, Juan. Now we've got about a minute left. Josh, you close out. Josh, go ahead.
Well, you know what, people? It's happening. It's coming right before us. We are in the midst of the storm right now. Whether it's a firestorm, whether it's a poly crisis, it's all happening right now. This is moving everything to a point of collapse, because that's the vulnerability not only for us but for them. Their system becomes incredibly vulnerable when all of this starts crashing down, and that's a point in time when the patriots begin to fight back and take back our country, our rights, our liberties, and our freedoms. We are witnessing history right now. The revelation is happening. Thank you so much, Juan and James. I hope everybody has a fantastic weekend. Take care. Have a good one.
Genocide Jab by John Michael Chambers is now an Amazon number one bestseller.
If you've not yet read this critically important book that exposes uncomfortable truths, you should get your copy now. Or bundle with The World Awakens Volume 1 and 2 and get a 20% discount at ampnews.us.